Welcome to Vitally You, a podcast created to introduce you to the tools that will be your roadmap for feeling younger while growing older. I'm your host, Dana Frost, a wellness expert, life coach, and energy medicine practitioner. Here's what you can expect: conversations about vitality from the inside out with guest experts in the field of health, culture, and spirituality, and solo episodes along the way from me where I do deep dives into the topics of aging, heart intelligence, energy medicine, and your innate capacity to heal. If you want to feel younger while growing older, this is the place for you. Hi, everybody. This is Dana coming to you for Vitally You, Feeling Younger, Growing Older. And I'm so excited about this conversation today, because once again, I get to talk with a functional nutrition and lifestyle practitioner who is a colleague. And this group of practitioners, the insights and wisdom and knowledge base is so deep that you'll be hearing a lot from these colleagues. So today we are talking to Ann Lemons. She's a wellness educator. She helps women balance their hormones and heal their gut so they can do what? Live vitally and align with their purpose. How important is that? Her philosophy is rooted in the belief that our behavior and ultimate potential is dependent on mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual balance. Anne, as I mentioned, is a certified functional medicine, nutrition, and lifestyle practitioner near Boston, Massachusetts. She brings further depth to her practice as a physical therapist for over 35 years, with specialty training in small intestinal bacteria overgrowth and HeartMath techniques. She serves on a maternity council board at a local hospital where she helps educate and empower women with the tools they need to thrive during the prenatal and postpartum period. Outside her practice, she enjoys spending time with her husband and three children and exploring movement in her dance studio. So welcome to this conversation. I always get so much out of conversations with you, and I'm really honored that you were willing to join us.
Well, thank you, Dana. It is my pleasure to be here, and speaking to you is always something that I look forward to as well. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, to our listeners today, we are going to dive into gut health and how that relates to longevity. And I know for myself, when I had my health crisis, I cleared candida in the late 90s. But I really hadn't given attention to gut health. And when I started understanding what was going on with my health, many of you know I have a pacemaker, but there were so many other contributing factors. And the gut was at the root of this really messy menopause transition. It was at the root of being pre-diabetic. It was at the root of adult acne, lack of sleep, or in just a new challenge with sleep, and also some anxiety that had never, ever appeared in my life before. So I'm excited to bring forth some information regarding gut health in terms of longevity. I just would love for you to start out. I know you have an opening story that you would like to share with us, and we are all ears.
I would love to. So, you know, I think we can ask the question of why is it that some people look really good and they function really well into their 70s, 80s, and beyond. They're working. They may be working full time. And, you know, I think the story I want to share with you today really exemplifies this. My husband and I went to Italy. This was some time ago. We went to Tuscany, in the hills of Tuscany. We went to this small little village that was enclosed by a wall. And we went there specifically to visit an olive orchard. And when we got to the olive orchard, we found it was run by this gentleman who was well into his 80s. He was running the orchard. He was getting up every day, working in his, he was out in the field. He was also working in the basement, this really damp, cold basement, pressing his olives. And we're looking at him and saying, he's so sharp. He's youthful. There's no arthritis. There's no pain. And he told us his schedule. You know, he got up early. He went to the fields. He was pressing his olives. He broke for lunch at the same time every day with his wife. He had the same meal, homemade pasta a ton of olive oil and a little glass of wine. And then he went back into the fields again. So, you know, I think what we're looking at here is a beautiful example of how diet and lifestyle can really affect how well we age. And we're looking at, you know, things like community, being in community. We're looking at good relationships with his wife. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the ability to commune with nature, you know, being outside every day and doing meaningful work. Like he he couldn't talk enough about olives and the harvesting and all of those things. So I started to think about how do these factors, do they affect the gut? And what kinds of changes, if any, do we see in the gut microbiome over the course of a lifetime? And then can we use this information to influence our gut positively and age better? And what I looked into the research and what I found was that when we look at the stool test, so that's our way of looking at the microbiome, which is mm-hmm. happening in the gut, right? When we look at those stool tests for centenarians, so these are the folks that are 100 years old, and we use this, they're our best aging model, right? The centenarians, we look mm-hmm. to see are they doing right, correct? So we look at the centenarians' stool compared to 70 years old, you know, people that were 70 years old, and we found, or they found, a stark difference in the bacteria content.
Oh.
So I found that so interesting. And, you know, today I thought we could explore, you know, what was different in the gut, and then how do we change that trajectory, right? How do we achieve better gut health like those in the centenarians?
Absolutely, Anne. And I love all of the different aspects of this person's health that you bring up. And there's what I, as you were describing him, I had this sense there's a rhythm and a routine and a connection to the land, to something he loves, to his wife, to his own life, having the rhythm of your waking. I feel like it's very easy to lose that in our modern fast-paced culture where we're always going, 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 and we don't really take time to slow down. I mean, I remember living in South America for 10 years, and where we lived, we were in big cities, so they weren't taking a long siesta, but no, you would not have eaten at your desk. No, you take a long break and you linger over lunch with other people. You are connecting with the people. You can go home or you're connecting with the people. And even in school, the lunches were extended. And, you know, it was shocking to come back to the US and be thrust into this culture where everything is rushed. And for many, we're not even sitting down to, we don't sit down for breakfast with other family members. We don't sit down for lunch. And we're, for many, if you have, you know, if you're in the phase of life where you have, you're caring for people who have activities, many times not even dinner. And what you're proposing, and I do agree with you, contributes to the gut health. Why? Why is that the case? I mean, I've got lots of ideas, but I would love to hear what you have to say, Anne.
Yeah. So, I mean, just describing what we talked about and what you just mentioned, I mean, we're looking at, you know, not being able to sit and really take your time and be present with your meal means that you're not doing all of those important digestive processes, right? We're not getting a great increase in stomach acid and digestive enzymes. We're not in that rest and digest state, which is what we need to be in to really, you know, absorb those nutrients. And yeah, I was just going to mention, you know, I think what we're seeing in this day and age, we're seeing a huge association with dysbiosis. So this is poor gut health. Dysbiosis just means an imbalance of the good bacteria to the bad bacteria. So we're seeing a big association with diseases like obesity and type 2 diabetes and inflammatory bowel disease, colon cancer, cardiovascular health, autoimmune diseases, and aging. So I think it's really important that we look at the gut as a potential organ to help us with aging.
Well, I love the way that you said a potential organ, because that puts it in the category, this is something vitally important to consider. If you're looking at any dis-ease at all, I would encourage everyone to, you know, peek into their gut health, take a look, see what's going on, because there's some element that is originating in the gut.
Absolutely. And, you know, we really have to think about the gut as a metabolically active organ. And I think, I'm hoping that this will soon be an area of study in medical school. It should be, because we know that the ratio of human cells to gut cells, we used to think it was 10 to 1, but it's actually closer to 1 to 1. So this is really important. And the gut microbiome has all this genetic material that, you know, we're just beginning to crack the surface of this. And we know that the gut bacteria has tremendous responsibility, if so to speak. We have 80% of our immune system is located in the gut. So we've got, you know, in the current climate, we should be really paying attention to what the gut is doing. But it does so much more. I don't know if you want me to mention a little bit about some of the things that the gut microbes do.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, this is just for our listeners to know, this podcast is more or less 30 minutes, but this is a conversation that we could literally spend the day talking about. So this will not be an exhaustive conversation, and we'll be back. This is really intended to get you thinking about what's going on in your gut and the importance of the gut with longevity. Okay, so yes.
Yeah, I want to make that connection. You know, why is this important? So I really want to ground us in how it connects to disease, right? Because we are talking about longevity here. So we know that the gut bacteria really help to modulate both arms of the immune system, the innate and the adaptive. So that's important. And the gut bacteria play a very important role by protecting the gut lining, because on the other side of that gut lining is the immune system. So we want to keep that really strong. The gut bacteria help to do that. And they help make certain vitamins like K2. Now we know K2 is really important for bone health. And when we think about getting older, you know, we think about osteoporosis, we think about falling and breaking hips and, you know, what that can mean for people. That can be, you know, devastational for people that end up in the hospital after a broken hip. So it makes things like K2. It helps us to make some of our B vitamins, which help us with mood and with energy and detoxification. And then for brain health, you know, how do we feel good mentally as we're growing older? These gut bacteria, 95% of serotonin is made in the gut. That's our feel-good chemical, right? We have GABA, which is made by bacteria in the gut that helps to calm us down. We have acetylcholine, which is important for memory, attention, and learning. And this is something I want to be nimble as I grow older, you know, in my brain. So the gut bacteria has so many important roles. And the last one that I want to mention, and I want to go just a little maybe deeper dive into this, because I think this is where we can take away some useful strategies, is that the gut bacteria make these things called short-chain fatty acids. And these become the fuel for our colon cells, but also our immune system. So really, really important. So great things that the gut bacteria do.
And they're not necessarily... We know those things because we're studying it, but it's not information that everybody has access to, which is why I do think this is such an important conversation. Yeah. So what are some of the things that people should be looking out for when you talked about the protective barrier? So we know that both the brain and the digestive system, they have this protective lining, and it's, you know, for very good reason, those aspects of our physical body are protected. And so the first thing that ends up happening is that, and we, you may have heard of this, listeners, leaky gut. And that's when that barrier of the digestive system is compromised. That's when we start having all sorts of symptoms and we kind of move into potential autoimmune disorders. So what are some of the things that our listeners might want to be curious about? What are some of the symptoms that they could be experiencing that would be indicators that something might be going on with their gut health?
Yes, so great question. So if we think about that gut lining, it's only one cell thick. So super, you almost want to think of it like a coffee filter, right? It's got two functions. It helps us absorb, but it also helps to keep the outside world out, mm-hmm. you know, from the inside of our body. So if that gut lining gets leaky, or we call it, it's really intestinal permeability, right? Mm-hmm. But we call it leaky gut, but we're talking about intestinal permeability. If that happens, absolutely anything, it can show up like anything in the body. It can show up like an autoimmune disease because you've got things leaking through that shouldn't be there. And it creates a response of the immune system. The body starts attacking itself. So that can create an autoimmune disease, but it can even show up like acne. It can show up like joint pain. It can show up like headaches. It can show up like a hormonal imbalance. So it's almost...
I've had all those. Hand raised, like every single one, I had all those symptoms.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, when we think about skin issues in and of themselves, we should be thinking about gut first, because that's where things are kind of percolating. And most people with chronic disease are going to have some degree of leakiness or intestinal permeability. And there's a lot of things that cause it. So, you know, that would be maybe helpful to talk into a little bit too.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about, because I know so many people do struggle with skin issues. And, you know, this podcast, you would think that it's only for people who are maybe midlife and beyond, but really, we know that there's an epidemic of autoimmune disorders for our young people. And so how can we actually, you know, support even our young people to feel younger as they grow older, even though it may just be teenagers to 20 to 30 to 40. And I know for me, I was on a lot of antibiotics for acne as a teenager. And I, you know, just to say, really think about your health. And if you've been exposed to a lot of antibiotics, there's a very strong possibility that you have some gut cleanup work to do, that your gut needs attention, because it doesn't just disappear on its own. Some of the things that we are exposed to throughout life, antibiotics, toxins, candida, those things can percolate and remain in the system over a long period of time.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to add on to that too, not just autoimmune disease, but in our young, you know, we're not just talking about our age and beyond. We are talking about the young people, because we're seeing unbelievable amounts of anxiety and depression. So we want to be thinking about gut health when it comes to mental health at every single age. And it has a huge influence. You can have an overgrowth of candida, and that produces byproducts, acetaldehyde, that just creates unbelievable amounts of anxiety and depression and inflammation. So we do really need to be thinking about, when we're seeing these kinds of issues, what is going on in the gut? And what can we do to help strengthen that gut barrier? Antibiotics are, you know, they can be really tough, especially in the first year of life. That's why we look at, as functional medicine and nutrition practitioners, we're looking at that exposure to antibiotics, because it can kill the good bacteria, create this overgrowth of bad bacteria and fungi, but other medications as well. I want to mention even proton pump inhibitors, things that bring acid down will change the microbiota. How many people in middle age and beyond are on proton pump inhibitors? This makes it really drastically changes the microbiota, leaves us more vulnerable to things like SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and parasites and things like that. But we can also look at birth control. birth control changes the microbiota, can make the intestines more permeable as well. So I think to be aware, if you are taking these medications, what kind of effect that may be happening in the gut microbiota, because we are seeing, you know, for if we compare the age groups, the 70-year-olds to the centenarians, there's a big difference in, you know, good, there's a better diversity of good gut bacteria in the centenarians, and there's better short chain fatty acids in the centenarians. So all the things that are feeding the good gut bacteria. So lots of things that influence the gut at every age.
Yeah, I think that those are, you know, really important things for people to watch out for. And what can you just, for our listeners, explain short chain fatty acids just very briefly?
Yes. So basically what happens is when we eat this insoluble fiber, so fiber is kind of where I want to, you know, emphasize what we can do to be proactive here is fiber, because these gut bacteria take the fiber and they ferment it and they create these short chain fatty acids. And the short chain fatty acids have anti-tumor effects. They protect the gut wall. They balance blood sugar. They help with cholesterol and brain function. So we've got these beautiful little fatty acids that can really work for us and create longevity or not. We can be doing things that will not encourage the growth of these short chain fatty acids.
And what are some of those things?
So what we want to do is, you know, first we want to look at what we're eating. So the things that will alter the gut bacteria will be processed foods, sugar, alcohol, you know, that's all going to change things. The medications we talked about, herbicides and pesticides. So the main ingredient in Roundup, glyphosate, very inflammatory to the gut. And then we've got lifestyle factors like too much stress, not able to manage our stress well, not getting good sleep, lack of exercise. And then one that is starting to become really prevalent these days is mold. Mold exposure. And I have personal experience with that, but extremely inflammatory. And it depletes the good gut bacteria so that the bad bacteria can kind of take over. So those are kind of things to be aware of, but we do have ways to increase those short chain fatty acids.
Yeah, I was at this conference this weekend, and the biohacking conference with Dave Asprey in Orlando, and actually toxicity in terms of thinking about how do we overcome health challenges. One of the things they pointed out that, and this was a panel of physicians, that we should be looking at is our exposure to toxins. Number one, we're all exposed. We all have a level of toxicity. It's a matter of how efficient is our body able to discard the toxins. And mold came up as one of the things across the board that they're all seeing is mold toxicity in their client population. So I think that's a good one to mention, because often we don't, you know, we're not thinking about it.
And we're not asking about it either. Mm-hmm. And so this is the thing that has become sort of front and center for me. Having experienced it, it puts a whole other spin on it, because you're just, you know, that you're more sensitive to it, and really taking good histories on what their exposure has been to flooding or leaks or anything like that. It just wasn't something I was thinking about 5 years ago, but boy, I am seeing a lot of it. And I think there's many reasons for that. Our detoxification systems are not that great. There's a small percentage of people that just don't detox well, but it's the cumulative exposure. It's not even the single exposure. It's the exposure over time. Those mycotoxins get stored and we're not really.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I like to point, that we, not just me, I know you do as well, when we're thinking about detoxing, we can make it really simple just to think about your hydration and are you eliminating every day? Are you pooping every day? I mean, sweat is one way that we eliminate toxins, but we really want to make sure that we're eliminating 1 to 2, 3 times a day, and it's a full elimination.
Absolutely. You mentioned some key pieces there. And, you know, most of us don't get enough fiber. We're not getting enough fiber. And that's really what feeds those short chain fatty acids. So we need to be eating more. Actually, prebiotic foods are what help to feed the good gut bacteria. And these are like Miracle-Gro for your good gut bacteria. That's really what we want to do. We want to crowd out the other bad bacteria, because what we see in studies is that we see this in the 70-year-olds, we see this rise in opportunistic bacteria, which should just sort of be background noise, but they get, you know, louder as people get older. And that's the big shift. When people turn 70 to 80, they start to see this shift in bacteria. So we want to get those prebiotic foods in, which are your things like onions and garlic. You think this man in Italy was eating a lot of onions and garlic, like whole garlic every day, right? These are really great prebiotic foods, asparagus, underripe bananas, legumes like chickpeas and lentils and beans. Those sorts of things are really good for feeding that gut bacteria.
And if the gut is in dysbiosis, sometimes you need to do some repair so that it can even digest some of those prebiotic foods. And that's where I think if you are having gut symptoms and, you know, you find that no matter what you do, you're still getting bloated, you're still uncomfortable, you're not able to eliminate, it's really important. And it's so helpful to have the participation of a practitioner. You know, I can think of anyone in our community of functional nutrition and lifestyle practitioners, any one of us would be able to just walk you through that healing journey and really get the gut back to where it can have those prebiotic foods.
Absolutely. And the population that I see tend to not digest those prebiotic foods very well. So there's a lot of what we call back it up work to do, and really working kind of top to bottom, very gradual. You do need someone to help guide you. It's very hard to do this on your own. If you start to eat those foods, for instance, and you're really bloated, or you get really constipated, or you have diarrhea. I mean, those are signs like, whoa, it doesn't mean this food is bad for you. It means that you have some deeper work to do in, as you said, in preparation for eating some of these foods that will eventually be able to really help build the good gut bacteria.
Mm-hmm. I always repeat what our teacher, Andrea Nakayama, says. It's not the food you eat, it's what your body can do with the food that you eat. And you could be having and actually at the time of my health crisis, I had a fairly healthy diet, but my body wasn't able to assimilate it.
Right. So you're not absorbing. So, mm-hmm. And we see this on lab tests all the time where people are, you know, they're not absorbing their fat soluble vitamins like vitamin D. It's like, why is my vitamin D level so low? That's an indication. You know, when you ask about what are some of the symptoms, maybe you're not absorbing. Maybe you're fatigued all the time. That's another big sign, mm-hmm. of weak gut, right? You're just not assimilating. You're not absorbing because that gut is leaky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are so many ways that we can take this conversation. So what are some of the things that our listeners can do to improve? We talked about prebiotic foods, so that's definitely one of them. I think this whole idea of lifestyle is, it's really a particular interest to me, because I think sometimes we go so full force at trying to correct something when we really need to just dial back down to what are the very basics of who we are as a human. And I remember for years, you know, we blessed our food as a family. It was a practice of ours, but I was so delighted to learn in class that actually prayer and blessing your food is one of the variables that helps with digestion, because, and you talked about it in terms of lifestyle, it's the whole leading up to having that meal, sitting down. But as we are smelling food, the body is in preparation. As we're cooking food, the body is in preparation. Our digestive enzymes begin to get released in the mouth and in the stomach. And so, you know, as just a very simple practice, just to slow everything down and take time to be with the food, right? And are there any other recommendations for our listeners in terms of improving the microbiota? And then that this just has, the benefit is longevity. It's just a part, it's going to be the natural progression.
Exactly. I would also, you know, looking at lifestyle, I would be thinking about exercise in general and movement, because there's a lot of research that supports just movement in a way that's right for your body. So not, you know, sometimes doing too much is actually breaks the gut lining down. You have to find the movement that's right for you in your healing journey. So that might look like yoga. That might look like, you know, something very different than doing a high intensity interval training class. But movement and exercise absolutely influence the gut microbiota. Something else I would be thinking about that we don't really talk about that much is the oral microbiome. So be aware of what your dental health looks like, because that affects everything downstream too. So I would say, you know, those are two other pieces that we don't often talk about as potential things that affect the microbiome, but it is something that we should be looking at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are so many pieces of the puzzle. And I want to encourage people that it is solvable. If you are having challenges with your gut, it is, you know, with some guided direction or self-study and slowing everything down, it is something that can be turned around. I mean, I turned mine around. I know that you've turned.
I turned mine well.
Yeah. I mean, I had arthritic pain or joint pain, foggy brain. There was a year period where I couldn't read a book. I just couldn't read a book. I didn't have the concentration to read. So that's actually another thing, is the inability to concentrate is another, foggy brain, if you want to say that, is another sign that something could be going on.
I agree with you, Dana. I think, you know, what we want to take away is that the gut microbiome is really plastic. We can change it. And we're actually seeing this on organic acid tests. What they did is they looked at organic acid tests 3 or 4 days after. So within a 3-day period of time, changing the diet, it dramatically changed the microbiota. So this is where we have agency. This is what gets me excited. Like, it's understand what we need to do and then work toward it, because we can change our gut, which can change our disease trajectory.
Yes, Anne and I are able to see one another, and I am just so excited about this, because I just think, you know, we have this virus that, you know, is plaguing the globe, and there's so much we can do ourselves. We have agency to button down the hatches of our health. And that really, I would say, start with the gut, start with getting the gut in order, start with a healthy diet that's rich in fiber, as much as you can take, the kinds that you can take, slowing everything down. And it's moving, exposure to the sun, some of these very simple lifestyle hacks can make a tremendous impact on our immunity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, we could continue to talk about this.
I have so many things I could share. I know.
So, but I want to honor our listeners and the commitment to time. So we will wrap it up and we will have to come on another call. I really want to thank you, Anne, for being with us and sharing the depth of knowledge that you have gathered over decades of your practice. And I want to thank our listeners for being with us as well. Do you have any closing comments for our listeners, Anne?
No.
I want to tell them where they can find you. So,
okay, sure. I think you've summed it up quite beautifully. I think we have, you know, this knowledge is power, and we have this agency over our health that we're not aware of. And when we give it the right tools, we can heal.
Yes, we can heal, and you can heal. So I really want to tell you that Anne has amazing, super practical videos where she does talk about all things health, including your gut. You can find her on her website at Anne Lemons Wellness. You can find her on Instagram. That's where I watch her videos. She's on Facebook. She has a YouTube channel. Again, Ann Lemons Wellness. That will be in the show notes. She has a free seminar, a free webinar, actually, on her website that I would encourage you to take advantage of. It's called It's Not You, It's Your Hormones. It would be a really good place to start so that you can learn about what are some of the root causes of hormone imbalance. And we know that starts in the gut. So you're going to learn things about your gut in that webinar. And I really encourage you to check Ann out. And if you need somebody to hold your hand with gut healing, Ann is an excellent practitioner. So
thank you, Dana. It's been such a pleasure being here today. I look forward to another conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, everybody. Until next time, see you later. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining me on the Vitally You podcast. If you like it, please spread the love with a review and share it with your friends. As a thank you, for the first 3 months of my podcast, one reviewer each month will be selected to win a sleeve of LifeWave X39 stem cell activation patches. LifeWave's X39 patch is the only product on the market that resets the body's own stem cells so they behave like younger, healthier cells, without injections, chemicals, or pharmaceuticals. Experience the power of the patch on your journey of feeling younger while growing older. To be entered to win, leave a review, screenshot your review, and send it to dana@danafrost.com, or pop it into a direct message on Instagram @danafrostvitallyfree. Don't miss a Vitally You episode drop. Sign up for my newsletter on my website or Instagram link tree. Until next time, streaming love from my heart to yours.